Good morning. Good evening, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, the fastest 4 hours of talk radio. And here we are in the home stretch, fourth and final hour. It is, of course, Friday, March 23rd, 2007, about 2 a.m. right here on the nose in the Central Time Zone. And very peculiar. I was just noticing the cable company. They decided to roll into the parking lot here, and I don't know what they were doing. Fiddling with something, the cable went out, then it turned back on. I don't know the cable company to make calls at 2 a.m., but I found that to be extremely interesting. Maybe it's just the conspiracy theorist in me. I don't know. This story from the International Herald Tribune, it came out on March 6th. Now, the story we just read saying those gals think that they were poisoned, according to American medical doctors, with thallium poisoning in Russia. Now, they claim they think it was accidental, but I'm sure they're leaving it open just in case, you know, something needs to be sued. However, I think that it might very well be a situation where they aren't interested in giving too much detail just because of what's going on. Anyway, going back a couple of days to March 6th from the International Herald Tribune, a little more information here. An American doctor and her daughter are being treated in a Moscow hospital Tuesday after being poisoned late last month with thallium, a highly toxic metal with a history of use in both pesticides and murder, Russian officials said. Both of the women who had emigrated from the Soviet Union in the 1980s but recently returned for a vacation have been severely sickened, but their lives were not in danger, said medical officials in Russia. Of course they would say that. Two women were being treated at the clinic since falling ill on the 24th of February. Kovalevsky, who has also used the surname Kolevskaya, is an internal medical specialist at private practice in California. So, interesting, she had returned to Russia for a vacation and was due back in the office on February 26th. They were poisoned on the 24th, 2 days before they left. And I think it's very interesting that she uses different names. She's like, oh, yeah, it was an accident. We don't know what happened. We were probably accidentally poisoned. Those silly Russians with their assassination attempts. I'm sure it was accidental. Why does she have two names? And why was she accidentally poisoned 2 days before she was scheduled to return and obviously had to stay longer? According to Dr. Arkady Stern, a colleague covering her practice, he said that she was due back on the 26th to see patients. Circumstances of the poisoning were unclear, but it appeared that Kovalevsky and her daughter had ingested the poison in Moscow. Said Stern, quote, she left L.A. in perfectly good health. The mystery of the poisonings following the fatal poisoning in London last year of Alexander Litvinenko, former security agent and strident critic of the Kremlin, attracted immediate attention and speculation in the Russian news media. Thallium, a metal with no taste or odor, has been used as an ingredient in insecticide and rat poison, and as well as criminals and intelligence services, including those of the Soviet Union and Iraq under Saddam Hussein. When ingested, is a slow-acting poison that can cause excruciating abdominal pain, breathing difficulties, damage to the nervous system, and extensive hair loss. He said, meaning Stern, said the women have been cleared to travel from Moscow and hope they might return to the U.S. before the end of the week. So they did come back, and they are fine, but nevertheless, it is intriguing looking at these intelligence services and the way they operate. Again, everybody knows everybody, and everybody has, you know, suicides and accidents and whatnot, and they all happen to coincide with a great many coincidences, much like, of course, September 11th. This one from March 11th came out on The Independent over in the British media. Ivan Safronov did not die immediately despite falling four floors from his window in a Moscow apartment block. Witnesses say he tried to get to his feet after hitting the ground, but then collapsed for the final time. Far from being an individual tragedy, the death of Ivan Safronov, who is, of course, the guy who reported that Russia was planning to sell or was going to report that Russia was going to sell or did sell or whatever, is still planning to sell this advanced weaponry to Iran and Syria. He did end up dying, and it says his death will be seen by many as part of a grim trend. And it goes on. 20 journalists have died of suspicious circumstances since 2000 when President Vladimir Putin assumed the Russian presidency. Shot, stabbed, or poisoned, the journalists have two things in common. No one has been convicted or, in most cases, even arrested after their deaths. All of them had angered powerful vested interests, which appear to suffer little restraint in dealing with their enemies.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We're talking about these 20 journalists who have died under suspicious circumstances since the year 2000 when Vladimir Putin became the president of Russia. It's very, very interesting, and it goes on to say about how, you know, who these people are, what they were investigating, and what sort of circumstances they died under. It's very, very interesting because we have seen a clampdown on free speech here in this country as well. You don't hear a lot of people talking about it, unfortunately. I guess nobody's really all that concerned. But this is a big issue, folks. And I bring this up because we had that call last night, and a caller asked me if I worried about stuff. You know, if I worried about, you know, if some of the topics or the guests made me nervous, you know, when I started delving into some of this stuff. And I told him no. And I don't. I did at one time. You know, there was a time when I was nervous about certain things and you know, operated as such. But my faith wasn't as strong back then as it is now. And that's changed everything for me. And it should for you as well. Folks, we are supposed to do this stuff. We're supposed to speak the truth. And, you know, there were talk about information sponges on this show. People who just sit back and listen. I know that there are people listening, and I'm glad you're listening. I don't expect you to call in every time. But what are you doing with the information? You don't have to call me. But are you calling someone else? Are you talking about it with other people? Are you doing something with what has been given to you? Because that's what it is. The truth is important. The truth is addictive. The truth is a drug that you can't ever get enough of. Now, some people, they get scared by things. Sometimes people walk away from the truth, and they walk away from their ability to discuss the truth, to talk about it with other people, to live and breathe and eat, consume the truth, because it just gets to be overwhelming. It's just, it's too depressing. I just can't do it. It takes so much out of me. Well, why? Why is it not sustaining you as well as consuming you? That's the real question. Why? What is it about you that the truth isn't enough, or that the truth is too much, perhaps? Because the problem isn't with the truth. The truth is the truth regardless. The problem is with you, unfortunately. Now, you could say, well, come on now, Frank. You're being too hard on people. No, I'm not. I'll be probably the most gentle with people who are waking up. But and we've talked about this on the show before, there are stages of awareness. And the process of waking up goes in stages. And there is that stage of fear to a certain extent, where you start to worry. Oh, no. You know, have I stumbled onto something that I shouldn't have? Am I talking about things that people shouldn't talk about? And make no mistake, folks, I've been warned off of many subjects. They've tried to tempt me and buy me off on a variety of different things, and I've not caved in. I will not. It's not that, because I have to go where I'm led. And if I'm led there, who is anybody else to tell me that I can't go there? It's just not right. I refuse to cower. I refuse to be warned off, suggested off, whatever it may be. And I've heard this many times. People said, you know, just keep your head down. You know, it's the nail on the fence post that's sticking up that gets hit first with the hammer. And I don't think that I'm not out there to try to do anything with this. I'm just out here to do the show. Now, if people don't listen to the show or whatever, then so be it. But I'm not, you don't hear me out there self-promoting myself everywhere, because I'm not interested in that. I just do this because this is what I'm supposed to do. But I don't have any fear about it. And we've seen a lot of good people fall by the wayside because they've been killed off. And, you know, whatever the case may be, certainly some journalists. And you know, it does make you wonder, what is the state of investigative news these days? Is there anything going on in American media? You know, how many people out there are being threatened for what they're doing and saying? Very, very few, I would imagine. Certainly nobody in, like, the really big markets or anything like that. And even, you know, here in Northwest Arkansas, you watch the local news, it's a joke most of the time, you know? I mean, the anchors are usually pretty squared away, but some of these field reporters are just Mickey Mouse, and they can't even speak properly or do anything to really convince you as the observer that they know what they're talking about, or they've done any of their own work. And Jim Marr said it really well yesterday. He said they're not reporters these days. They're presenters. They don't do any of the work, and if they do, it's very, very little, few and far between. I've had some phenomenal experiences with the local media, so don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, though, that how many people take it to the levels that these 20 reporters in Russia that have been executed, in essence, you know, how many people have taken it to that level? And there's many, many more all over the world. There are people who are trying to do good things. There are people who are trying to get this information out there, the truth in general. And I don't think you can have the intestinal fortitude to go forward. I don't think you can have the guts to continue on unless you have something firm supporting you, some faith. For example, and I think that the faith angle is the most important thing in the world, at least it is to me. And we talked about preparation, survival, things of that nature. If you are not on firm spiritual foundation, you're screwed from the start. So I strongly urge you to consider that first and foremost. And a lot of people, I know there are a lot of people out there are frightened. What are you frightened of? That's the real question. Like, oh, they might kill me off. Yeah, they could. So what? So what? It's all they can take from you. Do you still have your integrity? Do you have your soul? Do you have your spirit? Is everything else intact? Yeah, then what's the worry, right? We've read the book, folks. We know how it pans out. We know that we win. So as a result of that, you already know the end. You already know how it plays out. You know how the finish goes. There's no reason to be afraid of this stuff. But of course, they love to operate in the ways that they operate, and the powers that be are despicable folks, needless to say. And they will do everything they can to facilitate all this. Now, these 20 journalists, in particular the last couple that we spoke about, Safronov and Litvinenko and whatnot, you know, were they actually killed by the KGB? I don't know. Hard to say. It's possible. It is also possible that the KGB is being set up to make it look like that they're involved with that. I don't know. Who knows? I don't have the answers. Wish I did. All we've got are speculations, allegations, insinuations, and, you know, our ideas of maybe where this is all going. But the point is, folks, is that you know the overall goal. Okay, the overall goal of the powers that be, one world government, one world currency, one world religion. Now, if they're world governments, religion, and currency, then leaders around the world are involved in this. So make no mistake, when we're talking about this World War III type scenario of these various countries lined up against the United States and our allies, there are people on both sides who are very, very much plugged in. They know exactly what's going on. They know how it's going to go down, and they're fine. And this is exactly what we've been talking about in terms of warfare and combat, and why we picked apart the movie 300. We talked about that earlier this week, and there are all those allegations that Leonidas in the movie 300 was supposed to be Bush. Bush isn't on any front lines doing any battle for his people. No way. The powers that be, they sit in their mansions on the hill, and they just order the pawns into battle. They order the pawns out there to do the dirty work and to go out there and get killed. And but this war is again, and we talked about it a little bit, summed it up with Jim Mars last night. All these things connect, but the war on terror, it's very, very, very interesting when you look at the timing of all this and how this ties in with the fact that you've got these guys who are out there saying that they're motivated by God to do the things they do, such as the war on terror. You've got Bush, you've got Tony Blair, Ahmadinejad, very much a sort of apocalyptic religious believer, talking about the Mahdi returning in spring. It's spring. Anybody look outside, see the trees blooming? Tony Blair, if he's due to step down, of course, you need to get him on board with what he's doing. You are seeing the climate changing. Is it global warming? There's some evidence, some, not much. Is it because of carbon emissions? No, not really, because, again, it's happening on other planets in the solar system. What do they have in common? Again, well, there's the sun, for one thing, and secondly, it may be a planetary body moving through, asteroid, whatever, comet, something that could potentially either have a very, very close flyby, like a Planet X sort of thing, and cause climactic upheaval on the planet, or it's very possible an actual impact. Now, what is being done with that? Well, we've got the United Nations. They're on it. Don't worry. The United Nations is going to save us. They're going to get their diverse group of people from all over the world, representatives of the United Nations, who are going to go pull a Bruce Willis, right? They're going to land on an asteroid, dig a giant pit, and blow up this thing before it hits us here on the Earth, right? No, of course not. You're going to get world leaders, people with a lot of money, who are finding ways to continue the operations by perhaps purchasing large swaths of land down in South America, where they can ride out the giant tidal waves as they crush through most of the coastal cities. You know, there's a difference, right? So the acquisition of natural resources for the continuation of survival and the exploitation of the masses is continuing on schedule. Okay? So all these things are tying in with now. It's spring 2007, folks. When is this thing going to fall? When's it going to drop? Why is it happening? We've picked it all apart time and time again. You have to figure out your discernment level. You have to figure out where you're at and what you think about all these things. But ask yourself this. Where are your foundations planted? Where have you built your house? Is it on stone or is it on sand? And when you answer that question for yourself, you'll know what you need to do and what you need to be talking about, what you need to be thinking about in terms of your continuation. So, anyway, climbing off the soapbox here. We'll jump back here in about 3 minutes with more news and more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural.com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274, 866-497-0274. 497-0274.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. Got about 35 minutes left in the show. I think we got time for another news segment here. I'll do my best to get through it as efficiently as possible without sort of taking too many tangent roads off track. This is from the Jerusalem Post, March 4th. I'm sure you've been following this. Arab newspapers are hinting that the Mossad and or the CIA could be behind the disappearance of an Iranian general, Ali Razi Askari, who was last seen February 7th in Istanbul. Askari is a former general in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and served in the cabinet of former Iranian President Mohammad Khatami. Baztab, a website linked to the Revolutionary Guard, first reported that Askari may have been kidnapped. Baztab recently reported that Askari's name was one of 20 appearing on what, quote, appeared to be a CIA hit list of former Revolutionary Guard officers, end quote. Askari reportedly arrived in Turkey where he was visiting for personal reasons on a flight from Damascus. According to reports, he checked into the Hotel Gilan and has not been seen since. Interpol is conducting an investigation into his disappearance, but thus far no concrete information has been released. So again, intelligence agencies perhaps making this thing happen. What we've seen is they will lie, cheat, steal, kidnap, and kill to make this war happen. And I don't know. There's different allegations about has he been kidnapped or is he a defector with information? Hard to say. Certainly the U.S. would prefer to paint him as a defector, but we'll see. This one from March 7th, Haaretz.com. The Iranian former deputy defense minister who disappeared in neighboring Turkey last month is being questioned in a northern European country under strict supervision, said the pan-Arab newspaper Al-Shark Al-Awsat, reported Wednesday. That's quite a name of a newspaper, isn't it? According to the paper published in London, Ali Raza Asghari is undergoing thorough investigation by intelligence forces before being transferred to the U.S. Asghari is a retired general in the elite Revolutionary Guards and disappeared in Istanbul about a month ago. A hotel room was booked under Asghari's name, but several reports indicate that he never arrived at the hotel. On Tuesday, Al-Shark Al-Awsat reported that Asghari left for the U.S. to seek asylum shortly after arriving in Turkey. Earlier Tuesday, Iran's top police chief said Iran is investigating his fate with the cooperation of the Turkish police, saying, quote, "It is likely that Asghari has been abducted by the Western intelligence services," end quote. He did not elaborate. Al-Shark Al-Awsat's sources, however, claim that the official was not abducted but left for the United States, quote, "along with the secrets he carried," end quote. Security was beefed up in Israeli embassies worldwide Tuesday, following reports that Iran suspected the CIA and the Mossad of involvement in Asghari's disappearance. A British newspaper reported Monday that Asghari is likely to possess information on missing Israeli Air Force navigator Ron Arad. Now, we've talked about him before in conjunction with before there was the Lebanese war last summer, there was this big operation going on in the West Bank area as well. And nobody really reported on that too much, but we did extensive coverage last summer on our morning show. It says Arad, an IAF navigator, was captured by the Lebanese Shiite Amal militia after ejecting from his warplane shot down over southern Lebanon in 1986. Media reports have said that the pro-Iranian Hezbollah took Arad from Amal security chief Mustafa Durrani the following year. Reports have also said that members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard took Arad in 1988 and transported him to Iran. Very interesting. In Israel, defense officials are concerned there may be an attempt to kidnap embassy workers and strike Israeli targets, which they may be attempting to provoke, okay? Because, again, a response by Iran for whatever purpose is still something that we will have to retaliate for. So that's a very, very interesting and important point. Now, we mentioned about the war last year with Lebanon. The attempt was made repeatedly between Israel and Lebanon last summer to draw Syria into it, and they kept saying, oh, Syria, and missiles are being fired out of Syria, and this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, whether it was or it was not. Syria and Iran have defense agreements, which means that if Syria was able to be dragged into the Lebanon-Israel war, then so too would Iran. And that didn't work. So maybe some other things. Maybe, hey, let's kidnap one of theirs and see if they retaliate. And then we can respond as well, saying, "This is we didn't kidnap anyone. This is an unprovoked attack, and we must respond in full force." So who knows where it will go. According to a British Daily Telegraph report, Iranian intelligence official Asghari is also likely to have intimate knowledge of Iran's defense establishment and nuclear development program. Although Asghari's disappearance in Turkey sparked allegations of a Mossad CIA-linked kidnapping, Haaretz has learned that he may have defected, but doesn't really source where they got that information from. They may have learned it, but they're not sharing it. Asghari served in the senior defense post under former defense minister General Ali Samahani. Israeli media have said for many years that Asghari was the most senior Iranian intelligence official in Lebanon with responsibility for Iran's ties with Hezbollah. Israel's Channel 10 television said late Sunday that Asghari was kidnapped on February 7th after arriving in Istanbul from Damascus, Syria. So, where is this all going? Well, there's more allegations that perhaps he defected and perhaps he has all this information. Now, again, will he be trotted out before perhaps the UN Security Council? Perhaps he'll be trotted out before Congress and say, "Yes, I have defected with all these papers." Well, you'd think that would be the most irrefutable evidence that Iran is doing something suspicious and therefore we need to respond. I don't think it's likely to happen, so perhaps, in my opinion, he was kidnapped. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. Excuse me. Didn't expect that. Okay. So we're talking about this kidnapped slash defected Iranian Revolutionary Guard general. Where is he? What's happening? And what's going on? Well, this story from the Washington Post on March 8th has some interesting information. A former Iranian deputy defense minister once commanded the Revolutionary Guard has left his country and is cooperating with Western intelligence agencies, providing information on Hezbollah and Iran's ties to the organization, according to a senior U.S. official. Well, that's interesting. A senior U.S. official who? Well, of course, they don't say. Very interesting. Now, think about this. I'm going to read it again. Now, picture this sentence in terms of he's a defector. A former blah, 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 is, has left his country, is cooperating with Western intelligence agencies, providing information on Hezbollah and Iran's ties to the organization. Now think of it in terms of he's been kidnapped and he's being tortured. He has left the country and is cooperating with Western intelligence agencies, providing information on Hezbollah and Iran's ties to the organization. So that's according to a senior U.S. official. Now think about that statement. You can read that either way. So we don't they make it sound like he left. He's left his country. Or he's been taken, but he still left the country. So again, as we discussed earlier about the legalisms and how they carefully choose their words, you know, they've got lawyers crafting all their statements before they talk to the press and all these things. So this is a situation where it can really be either way, but it's couched in terms of he's talking to us. You know, he's helping us out. He's a sympathizer. He realizes that the errors of his ways in being an Iranian, and he wants to be an American now. Well, we'll see, I guess, huh? Ali Rez Asghari disappeared last month during a visit to Turkey. Iranian officials suggested yesterday he may have been kidnapped by Israel or the U.S. The U.S. official, unnamed, of course, said Asghari is willingly cooperating. He did not divulge Asghari's whereabouts or specifically who is questioning him, but made it clear that the information he is offering is fully available to U.S. intelligence. So he's willingly cooperating. Well, take a look. I mean, you've got people sitting in Abu Ghraib for months and months and months, and then they start confessing to everything under the sun. You know, they committed September 11th. They were behind all the al-Qaeda attacks on the U.S. and U.S. interests around the planet for the last 10 years. They actually killed Kennedy, and they were responsible for crashing the aircraft at Roswell, the UFO. So enough torture, and anybody's going to admit to anything. I don't necessarily buy this, but they said he's willingly cooperating. Yeah, well, you know, what did it take for him to willingly cooperate, though? That's the real question. Asghari's background suggests he would have deep knowledge of Iran's national security infrastructure, conventional weapons arsenal, and ties to Hezbollah in South Lebanon. Iranian officials said he was not involved in the country's nuclear program, and the senior U.S. official said Asghari is not being questioned about it. Former officers with Israel's Mossad spy agency said yesterday that Asghari has been instrumental in the founding of Hezbollah in the late 1980s, around the time of the bombing of the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut. It goes on. Israel fought a bloody month-long war with Hezbollah last summer in southern Lebanon after the group seized two Israeli soldiers. The soldiers have not been returned, and their fate is unknown. Other Israeli soldiers have vanished in Lebanon during decades of conflict along the country's shared border, most notably an Israeli airman named Ron Arad. In a January briefing to Congress, then-Director of National Intelligence John Negroponte described Hezbollah as a growing threat to U.S. interests, saying, quote, as a result of last summer's hostilities, Hezbollah's self-confidence and hostility towards the U.S. as a supporter of Israel could cause the group to increase its contingency planning against the United States' interests, end quote. U.S. intelligence officials said they have no evidence that Hezbollah is actively planning any attacks, but noted that the organization has the capacity to do so if it feels threatened. Well, gosh, announcing via U.S. officials and whatnot that you have a guy who has all this information and he's willingly cooperating might be, you could say, a reason to feel threatened. In which case, you'd have to say, whether they kidnapped him or they're bragging about him defecting, are they not, in fact, sort of poking and prodding? You're saying, I dare you to attack. You're threatened. We've got all your information. We've got your guy and his files. Ha, ha, ha. Makes you wonder. All right, this is from YNetNews.com out of Israel. On the 9th, this came out. Former Iranian Deputy Defense Minister Ali Rez Asghari left Turkey for an undisclosed location in Europe with a false passport with the help of Western officials. The London-based Asharq al-Awasat a newspaper reported on Friday. A former colleague told the newspaper that Asghari took with him documents and maps that shed light on Iran's military and the Revolutionary Guard's link to Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, the Mahdi Army, and the Badr Corps, military forces for the Supreme Council of the Islamic Revolution in Iraq. So some connection there. Supposedly, this guy has all the information of some connection between Iran and all these militant groups, including, of course, groups in Iraq. Very interesting. The Iranian sources, Asghari, was also in possession of documents related to Iran's ballistic missiles project and was privy to confidential information regarding the Islamic Republic's plan in case of a conflict with the United States. A senior American official said on Thursday that Asghari is providing Western intelligence agencies with information on Hezbollah and Iran's ties to the organization. Saudi newspaper Al-Watan recently reported that the Iranian Revolutionary Guards are instilling changes in the defense system protecting the country's nuclear reactors for fear that Israeli and U.S. intelligence agencies are now in possession of specific information that may threaten the facilities. So that may be or it may not be. It's hard to say. But again, folks, you know, think about this. The allegation was made that these weapon caches that were captured in Iraq, they have, like, made in Iran stamped all over them. And they said, hey, wait a minute, we know for a fact these were made in Iran because of the serial numbers. What? And we've made this point before. If you're in Iran and you are selling weapons to insurgent groups and you don't want to get caught, what are you going to do? You're going to file off the serial numbers. I mean, any low-rent television cop show at least has that thing in their dialogue. So the idea that the evil and diabolically genius Iranian nation would certainly have done that. So how do they know this? And, you know, people have come out and said, yeah, these have links all the way up to the top of the Iranian government. And then various generals started coming out and saying, no, it doesn't. And then these politicians were saying, sure, it does. Sort of. Kind of. Anyway, it kind of blew up in their face, obviously. You see what I'm getting at here. So now all of a sudden this high-ranking Iranian official with all these secrets, quote-unquote, disappears. And news stories start getting put out that he disappeared with all these documents, which do what? Well, they reveal all the information about their ballistic missile program, their nuclear program, their ties to Hezbollah, and their ties to Iraq and the insurgency there. So now if these documents surface, they will be attributed to this guy who is in hiding in the United States somewhere. Is he really? And again, maybe it's the conspiracy theorist in me, but I would say, did he willingly defect, or was he assassinated and then these forgeries are put out in his name? It will be interesting. And there are photographs of this guy. There's one in this Ynet newspaper that I just am reading from. So that indicates to me, again, if you're trying to convince the Congress and the people who would be obstacles in your way to launching a war against Iran that they're the real deal and they really are a threat to the United States, you would trot this guy out in person. And you'd say, well, no, you wouldn't. He's got to be protected. Well, shouldn't he be protected in the United States? You'd think so. So they could trot him out and he'll be there and he'll dazzle everybody with his information and all that stuff. Or will they just say, we've got these documents from someone, and then the media will make the connection for everybody exactly as the powers that be would like for you to think, saying these documents appeared mysteriously about a week after so-and-so disappeared with all these documents. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of this just yet, but I am suspicious about it. I don't think he'd necessarily defected, but it could be the excuse by which evidence, quote-unquote, will be presented. All right, this is from the Associated Press, and pick this up on the 13th of this month. It says, the wife of a retired former Iranian deputy defense minister who went missing in Turkey urged authorities to investigate his disappearance, state-run radio reported. Zabi Ahmadi, the wife of Ali Reza Asghari, said her husband, who has five children, did not defect to Turkey, and she believes some evidence shows he was abducted. She said, quote, on the radio, quote, some evidence shows my husband was abducted, but it is not clear by whom, end quote. She did not elaborate, of course. She also added, quote, he will never seek asylum. He had no problems in Iran and that would suggest him to take refuge. We asked Turkish embassy officials to follow the case, end quote. Ahmadi said she went to Iranian authorities for help after she got worried because her husband's phone had been shut off. So this guy has five kids and a wife in Iran, and he's going to defect and leave them behind. I don't know. I suppose anything is possible, but she seems to think he was abducted. All right, this is out of Iran, the Fars news agency, also on the 13th. It says, former Iranian Deputy Defense Minister Ali Reza Asghari, who was kidnapped by the Western intelligence agencies during a personal visit to Turkey, is being tortured to testify against Iran, an informed source said Monday. So again, unnamed sources and so on and so forth. And obviously it comes out of Iran, so they don't want anyone to think that this guy is a traitor, that one guy in the Iranian government, past, present, or future, has all the secrets necessary to take down the entire nation. They don't want to scare the public. So, you know, there's a certain amount of propaganda you have to understand. And I'm not saying that only Iran has propaganda. All of these news outlets are propaganda. There's elements of truth in there. You just have to seek it out. And that's why we do lengthy news segments like this one, in order to get the bits and pieces and sort of collect them and collate them together. But anyway, they're saying he's being tortured. It says the source told FNA, that's Fars news agency, that Asghari, who had retired from his post 4 years ago, was transferred to the U.S. base in Turkey, Incirlik, and then taken to a covert CIA detention center in Europe. Said the source, anonymously, quote, according to the latest information, a joint committee formed of the U.S., Israeli, and British agents are torturing Asghari both mentally and physically with the same style U.S. troops torture prisoners in Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib, end quote. The source also said, quote, the West, specifically the United States, has for a while been working on a plan to introduce Iran as a potential and active threat to the region. They have staged extensive psychological operations and propaganda to inspire the regional countries with this distorted picture of Iran, convincing them that the Islamic Republic is meddling with their internal affairs, conducting terrorist operations, and posing threats to them, end quote. He also said, in their new scenario, Western intelligence agencies are trying to make a propaganda of Asghari, and that is why they are torturing him. After Asghari was kidnapped in Turkey, Western news agencies strove to convince the world's public opinion that he had been a spy of the West and that he had sought asylum for himself and his family, alleging that the retired defense ministry employee has fled the country along with his family. But Asghari's family, including his wife, two daughters, one son, and a brother, thought he had five kids, visited the Turkish embassy in Tehran and requested the embassy officials to pursue his case, stressing that they claim, meaning the family, Turkey was responsible for the abduction of Asghari by the Israeli or U.S. intelligence agencies. The 46-year-old Asghari was kidnapped in Turkey 95 days ago. It's been going on for a while. And again, you've got U.S. officials commenting. You've got Iranian officials commenting. You've got Israeli officials commenting. Everybody's commenting. But this one, I thought, was the most intriguing. Also came out on March 13th, the International Herald Tribune. It says, more than a month after the former top official in Iran's defense ministry went missing while in Turkey, Germany on Tuesday stirred up the mystery of the disappearance and the possible collusion with the West. On an official visit to Ankara, the German Minister of Defense, Franz Josef Jung, was asked about the whereabouts of the former Iranian official Ali Reza Asghari and whether he was in Germany undergoing questioning, to which Jung replied, quote, I cannot say anything on this issue, end quote. He made the cryptic remark at a press conference with his Turkish counterpart, Vedi Ganul, as reported by the state-run Anatolian news agency. So, you know, he's in there having a meeting with a Turkish counterpart. Turkey, of course, is where he was headed when he supposedly was kidnapped or supposedly defected, either way. And you've got the question was asked whether he was in Germany being questioned. He says, I cannot say anything on this issue. He didn't say, I don't know what you're talking about. He didn't have some sort of vague statement that's been prepared by lawyers that can be danced around with all over the place. He just said, I cannot say anything on this issue, which, again, I find to be extremely, extremely interesting. Now, where's that going to go? I don't know. But it is interesting, folks, and it does highlight a couple of very important things. You may have seen this story, and I think given all this information, we're seeing the case being made, should they need to, not, of course, stage any attacks or anything like that. We talked about the suitcase nukes and these things happening. We talked about Iran on their state-run news agency website at the beginning of the year saying that the Mahdi would be returning this year and that he would defeat all the enemies, indicating, again, Iran is sort of saying, hey, look, our God sort of thing is coming back, and he'll be attacking the United States and all of our enemies like Israel and wiping them off the face of the map and so on and so forth. And then Tony Blair leaving and all these different things going on. There is a timetable that they have to adhere to, and they do appear to be pushing this thing harder and further and faster. But again, in lieu of no preemptive strike by the U.S., no preemptive strike by Israel, no reason to retaliate based on Iran doing something first, you've got, again, a sort of legal case to be perhaps more convincing. I don't know where it will go. But I do know that this story, I think, indicates that this thing is a go. Also from the 13th, from the Associated Press. Top House Democrats retreated Monday from an attempt to limit President Bush's authority for taking military action against Iran as the leadership concentrated on a looming confrontation with the White House over the Iraq War. So the Democrats wanted to clamp down on Bush's ability to his ability to declare war on Iran, okay, or to send us into Iran. Now, this technically was just an exercise in futility. I didn't expect anything to happen. And if it was even a non-binding resolution or they wanted to strip away funding or any of that stuff, they were never going to do it in the beginning. But the point is that the Democrats, who were all anti-war, remember John Edwards' whole platform, his anti-war populist agenda, is making him a name on the 2008 presidential campaign trail. Remember that? Yeah. Well, they're not really anti-war now, are they? They're all in it together. They're all basically the same party. They all obey the same words of the same master. So here you can see exactly what's going on with all that. So it goes on. Officials said Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other members of the leadership had decided to strip from a majority military spending bill a requirement for Bush to gain approval from Congress before moving against Iran. You notice it doesn't say in case Bush moves against Iran. It says before he moves against Iran, before moving against Iran. Very, very interesting. Now, you recall the resolution that gave Bush the authority to launch the war on terror. I don't have the exact date in my mind offhand, but it did authorize Bush to go after those responsible for September 11th, which is why everything is being tied in together. That's why they had all these allegations about Saddam meeting with al-Qaeda. That's why they're making the connection now between al-Qaeda in Iraq, remember, the al-Qaeda sequel, al-Qaeda in Iraq, and some connection between Iran giving them weaponry. So now all of a sudden Iran has been dragged into it, courtesy of this defected slash kidnapped official, which means it is part of the war on terror, which means they don't need the Democrats or Congress's approval. They've already given it to the president. Stay with us.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Welcome back, the tail end of the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We have dropped an information bomb upon you, and I hope that you're following all these things and all the connections. Concluding with this story from the AP from the 13th, again, it goes on. Conservative Democrats as well as lawmakers concerned about the possible impact on Israel had argued for the change in strategy. So the people, and of course we know there's a lot of money being lobbied on behalf of Israel, The people are concerned about Israel saying, you can't block Bush from going into Iran because you might have to protect Israel. And the Democrats said, what are you talking about? Why would we care? Oh, wow, there's a lot of zeros on that check. I am running for president, so okay, yeah, go ahead. All right, we'll just scratch that right out. Okay. The developments occurred as Democrats pointed toward an initial test vote in the House Appropriations Committee on Thursday on the overall bill, which would require the withdrawal of U.S. combat troops from Iraq by September 1, 2008, if not earlier. The measure provides nearly $100 billion to pay for fighting two wars, which includes more money than the president requested for operations in Afghanistan and what Democrats call training and equipment shortages. So these Democrats, these anti-war Democrats, gave the president more money than he asked for. How about that? You know, when you go into a negotiation, you ask for more than you want. Bush asks for, I want $50 billion, whatever it was. And the Democrats say, oh, you drive a hard bargain with your asking. Here's $100 billion. yeah, the fix isn't in or anything. The White House has issued a veto threat against the bill, and Vice President Cheney attacked its supporters in a speech declaring, quote, they are telling the enemy to simply watch the clock and wait us out, end quote. Pelosi issued a written statement that said that the vice president's remarks proved that, quote, the administration's answer to continuing violence in Iraq is more troops and more treasure from the American people, end quote. Okay, but they removed the obstacles from that. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat from Nevada, said in a statement that America was less safe today because of the war. He said, quote, the president must change course. It is time for the Senate to demand he do it, end quote. But, of course, they didn't demand he do that. The Iran-related proposal stemmed from a desire to make sure Bush did not launch an attack without going to Congress for approval, which, again, legally he doesn't need to do. But it drew opposition from numerous members of the rank and file in a series of closed-door sessions last week. Closed-door sessions. It's all private stuff. Representative Shelley Berkley, Democrat from Nevada, said in an interview, there is widespread fear in Israel about Iran, which is believed to be seeking nuclear weapons and has expressed unremitting hostility about the Jewish state. She said of the now-abandoned provision, quote, it would take away perhaps the most important negotiating tool that the U.S. has to when it comes to Iran, end quote. Democrat, she's saying, hey, look, we can't negotiate with Iran unless we threaten to bomb the crap out of them. Said Democratic Representative Gary Ackerman of New York, again, Democrat, quote, I didn't think it was a very wise idea to take things off the table if you're trying to get people to modify their behavior and normalize it in a civilized way, end quote. That's right. You can't get people to start behaving unless you threaten to kill them. So we need to keep that on the table. We need to make this happen. So here, in a nutshell, is what is going to go down. You're going to see probably a war with Iran. Now, regardless of what causes it, it could be many things. But you're probably going to see this happen. Now, inevitably, because all these stories have come out about troop shortages and things like that, and all these stories have come out about the VA and the horrible treatment that's going on, you're probably going to see a need for more troops. Now, that could imply, again, a draft. Perhaps it could also open the door to a further sort of recruitment from foreigners who want to be U.S. citizens. And, of course, more cannon fodder for the battlefield. But anyway, you'll probably see the draft, and then these things will happen. Anyway, Iran will turn out to be a debacle because it will lead to a World War III type of scenario, a bunch of countries mixing it up together and making just a hell of a lot of problems all over the place. What's going to happen then? Well, then you're going to have some issues because the Democrats with their anti-war platform are going to look golden going into 2008. So what's going to happen there? People are going to say, well, we need a Democrat who is going to be all about negotiating and at the same time somebody who's still tough. Well, Hillary Clinton will then rise the cream of the crop, because not only is she anti-war, she also supported the war in Iraq. So you can see this whole thing line up. And again, Hillary and Edwards, I predict, in 2008. So we'll see how it goes down, folks. But again, all this stuff can be scary. The truth always can be. But have faith, folks. God will take care of all of us, all right? You have to believe that. Anyway, have yourselves a spectacular day. We'll see you in 20 hours for the conclusion of this week's Frankly Speaking radio programs.
You got hit it.